This is a replay of the Wednesday night, June 21st WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. All you have to do is call 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. As long as it's insignificant in the scheme of things and has no political importance, well, we talk about it, whatever it may be. As far as social importance, well, I'm often talking about dreaded databases, and there's a lot you can't control, and from there ought to be a law department. One of the most enraging things about today's databases is that authorities can use it to get around requirements for a warrant. You know, you want to find out about someone, just buy a Choice Point report. It's that simple, and there's a lot going on with that, and we talk about that fairly often, particularly in the case, again, of data that you otherwise wouldn't be supplying. But remember, there's not a law in this country that says you own your data. In fact, for the most part, you don't. You have interactions with your credit card company. They own your data, and yes, they can sell it. And on the list goes, and anybody who thinks HIPAA really protects your privacy hasn't really read it. Yeah, and it's voluminous. Trust me, I think most people haven't, but trust me that it doesn't. But as much as I grouse about that, the other side of that is how willing people are to just not only turn over data, but allow their lives to be controlled, particularly in the name of smart devices. And in this story that we'll look at, Amazon locked a guy out of his house. Yep. And yeah, that's the way it is. And believe me, I hate the trend toward you don't own the software, you lease it every year, you pay a rental fee on it. I hate that. And yet, I've on the few computers I have that have to be Windows, even though I don't want them to be, I refuse to go to 11 because, from what I understand, you can't really get around the idea of a Microsoft account, and I refuse to have one. But that said, there's many people who see the upside of Alexa, for instance, or all the smart devices. And so we have a fella that was, he's, by the way, he's a Microsoft engineer. All right, so he knows what this stuff can and will do and how. He lives in Baltimore, and what he's done is set up his entire house to be remotely monitored and controlled, whether it's security cameras or lights or doorbells or what have you. It's all automated and controllable at a distance through, actually, Amazon Echo, Alexa. So all was fine until May 25th, until suddenly the house goes dark. Yeah, ain't nothing working at all, which was a concern. And actually, he discovered his Echo signed out. That's right. There wasn't a power failure, and the backup generator didn't fail. No, it just signed out. So he was thinking the worst. And let's face it, the worst is a data breach. And, you know, that alone is reason not to be involved in these modern day conveniences. But it wasn't a data breach at all. So here he's got a house full of unresponsive devices, a silent Alexa, a lot of questions. And he goes ahead and calls Amazon. And much to his surprise, Amazon cheerfully told him, check your inbox for an email. Yeah, those are words to die by. And so sure enough, there was one from Amazon advising him to call. Well, I know he just called, but it was a different number. Now he's calling the executive level. And he actually was wondering, as you should wonder, is this a scam? So he checked to make sure that he was dialing Amazon and not a third party who wanted to mine his data. And he was connected to the actual executive who wrote him the letter, which is the email, which is fairly amazing right there. But the first guy, I said, do you know why your account is locked? Well, that's the first he was confirmed that his account was, in fact, locked. He said, don't you have an idea? And so he said, well, no, I don't actually. And so here is the interesting part. What did this guy do that would make his data just be completely unavailable to him? Well, he was told that a driver who delivered a package reported receiving racist remarks from his Ring doorbell. The driver's complaint caused someone at Amazon to just lock the account. Now, here's the interesting thing. As our Microsoft engineer says, now it gets baffling. Now, firstly, I got multiple cameras that record everything that happens on my property, let alone my doorstep. But if the driver's claim were accurate, of course, we could see this. But more to the point, it seems highly unlikely. You see, I'm black. Most of our drivers are black in the area. We're all the same race. Exactly what racial comments were made. So he goes back, you know, looks at the footage. There's absolutely nothing on there whatsoever. So he says to Amazon, well, exactly what time did the alleged incident occur? And they said, well, it was 6:05 p.m. Now, this gets even stranger because no one was home. Absolutely no one. And sure enough, he goes back, he looks at the footage, you know, 20 minutes either side of 6:05, and confirms that absolutely no comments were made. Not only no racist comments, no comments. All they got was an automated response when the doorbell rings. And the automated response says, excuse me, can I help you? Now, the driver, by the way, it's hard to know if he heard this because he was wearing headphones. And he just walked away. So Amazon decided that this was a reason to lock his account. All his devices were logged out. All his accessibility is gone. So he sends Amazon a copy of the video, figuring, well, that'll do it. I'll have my devices back on in moments. Well, he did have his devices on a week later. So for 1 week, he's completely without access. No phone call, no apology, not even an email to let him know the account was unlocked. It's just for a week, nothing worked, and then it did work. And he said, you know, I was not truly in the dark for a week. He said, well, yes, we mostly run Alexa, but that's just a polymorphic interface. I can use others. And, you know, again, he's a Microsoft engineer. He's going to know what to do. And so it was that it wasn't as much of an inconvenience for this guy long term as it was just jaw-dropping stupidity. And, you know, his point was Amazon should take a more customer-focused approach to problem solving. And there are several other stories about it, similar stories in nature. But the thing that I come away with is, well, two things. Number one, why people are confident in using these devices, you know, because as you can see, you can be shut down in a heartbeat. But just like when you're buying books for your Kindle and all of a sudden one's recalled, you know, you bought it, you paid the money, there it is, gone. And that's happened over copyright issues more than once. Get a hard copy. But what really got me is the amount of people who thought it was perfectly fine for Amazon to take that kind of action if it were warranted. In other words, well, yes, it was a problem this time, but if it were warranted, what? And our Microsoft engineer says, no, if someone buys a device, pays for the device, they should be able to use it on their own property any way they want, providing it's not hurting anybody else. So regardless of race, religion, beliefs, if you paid for it, you should own it. Yeah, well, he just discovered, no, you don't, not anymore. So just be afraid, very afraid. But the real thing is that even if you don't want to partake in this, the chances are good you are in a database or two that is not only, for instance, you know there's one for your credit and you know there's a number of things for virtually everything, including a medical information bureau. But I don't know how many people realize there are aggregators who aggregate the whole thing and will sell the whole profile of you. Yeah, so unless you're going to the cave, you're there. So how could we fix this? Well, change the laws. Now, the government does not want to change the laws, again, because they can get around everything that is constitutionally protected in terms of invading your rights just by buying a report. So they don't want you to own your own data, but that's the change you need. You should own your own data. And again, it's one of those things where, you know, the credit card companies say, well, no, we process it, we own it. Yeah, well, you were the one who, of course, engaged in the transaction. Maybe it's time for you to own it. Yeah, well, you know, they'll be lobbying against that. But right now, sadly, never going to happen, because not only do the powers in control not want it to happen, but people are more than willing, under the what do I have to hide genre, and more than willing to absolutely hand everything over to what becomes data brokerage. But I don't know. Yeah, meanwhile, I'm still an outlier. I'm not signing up for a Microsoft account no matter what. All right, we'll see how long that lasts, of course. And more, like, I don't use software that you have to lease. If I don't have a buyout, forget it. But John uses some specialized software for some of the things he does. And the bottom line is, he explained to me, he says, you don't understand. There is no choice anymore. It's either you lease it or you don't get it. And you go back to I don't know what version of an operating system to avoid it, but the bottom line is all the things that you need you won't be using if you don't step right up and sign right up. No, thank you. So I enjoy being a Luddite. All right, 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. I'll get to James in Southside stories, but Soroya has an obscure request, and hers are usually great. So Soroya, you're up. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey Raleigh,
how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well,
it's really funny. Your husband answered the phone. He's like, "Why are you up?"
That's right. That's right. Well, we worry about you. You get up in the morning.
I do, but I have a flexible schedule now.
Yeah.
For my obscure request, I was Ted Taylor, Someone's Always Trying.
Oh, absolutely. Produced by Billy Sherrill. Yes.
Yes, I was thinking about that because I just finished watching the end of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Did they use it?
They didn't, but it reminded me of, like, they had a guy who was playing a closeted gay guy.
Yeah.
Who kind of sort of reminded me of Ted Taylor a little tiny bit.
Wow.
So I got to thinking about that, and I was like, oh, I can call Raleigh and say, hey, I'd like to hear this obscure soul, because no one else is going to play that.
Oh, yeah, no, I play it's a big hit around here. I'll be happy to play it.
Right. It was just funny. Like I said, I'm so glad to hear John's on the mend, too.
Yes.
I was talking to him, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to make a full recovery. Then that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's about 24 months, they say, so he's got a ways to go. But his neurologist dismissed him, said, unless something happens, you don't need me anymore.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's always nice, if you've called Raleigh for years and even if you haven't, John is usually who answers you.
Exactly.
So it was fun. Raleigh had called in, and the first thing he said, he's like, what are you up to?
That's right, really, exactly. Well, if you have flexible hours, that's okay, but I'll get you a Ted Taylor next so you don't have to stay up too long.
No, that's fine. Chad wanted me to say hello.
Yes, and I want to say hello to Chad, too. I got an email from him, and email has just gotten ridiculous, but I will be getting back to him, and hopefully things will turn around for him, but in the meantime, I'll send him some stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. He was like, please tell Raleigh my phone was stolen. I'm like, well, I can do that. I'm not sure what she can help you with that with.
Well, I'm hoping that the address that he gave me is one where there's a mail drop where he actually gets the mail.
Oh, yep, he does.
Okay.
He is there currently. I just talked to him.
Okay, good. Then that's what I'll use. But, oh, man, the phone's stolen. And, it, you know, when that happens, like we're talking about with databases and all that, it's not only the phone, your life is stolen.
Well, no kidding, right?
Yeah.
And so I'll leave you with this. I have my first presentation, in quotes, for my job on Friday. I'm pretty sure I'm going to nail it, considering I've talked to thousands of people at this point.
Ooh, what's it about? Give me the cliff notes.
So it's about logistics. That's what I do for a living now.
Good. Good. Absolutely. Logistics is wonderful. It can go so right, and oh, it can go so wrong. I bet you've got some wonderful examples.
I do. What's really funny is, like, they're like, my new boss is like, are you nervous? And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
No.
Well, let me know how it goes. I want a full report.
I absolutely will do that, Raleigh, and thanks for taking my call, and I look forward to hearing my request.
You will hear it next. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
So, yes, I know most people think about Billy Sherrill, you know, Stand By Your Man and all the country stuff. But deep in his heart lay a love for R&B. And you're going to hear some of it next. And when you listen to it, it sounds like Billy produced it. And he did. Coming up on WGN Radio. I forgot again. It's right in front of me. Yes, Adam's back. We had Bob last night, but Adam has returned, and he reminded me that I didn't tell you about the Sea Crane Company and the CC Radio 3. I was using it last night. In fact, more on the mystery of a frequency that's doing weird things here. And I'll tell you what, Bob Crane, when he listened to radios a few decades ago and saw what was happening to reception, he said, I can do better. And boy, is that the truth. Every radio that he makes just has superior reception. You put it next to any radio currently on the market and he'll just blow them away. And the nice thing about it is so many of his radios have a whole bunch of other features too. And the CC Radio 3 is the almost everything radio. John keeps it by the bed because he loves that Bluetooth speaker. Yeah, no matter what you want to hear, you'll hear it better with that. But if you're just looking for AM or FM, nothing beats the reception. Great AM and great FM, emergency capabilities like NOAA weather and the 2-meter ham band, which, you know, day to day, maybe you won't care, but in an emergency, that's where you'll hear the first responders before you're ever hearing it in any other form of an alert. So that's a really nice thing to have. It's got a dial light, it's got a clock and all the features. It's digital, but you can fine tune as well, which is nice. Runs on the included power cord, but a set of batteries will keep it running for over 170 hours. So it really does have everything, and it sounds good. This week, you get $20 off if you order it, and that's a nice deal. $20 off, you can do it by phone at 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE, and their customer service is really that, customer service, and they'll tell you anything you want to know about any of their products. But if you can go online, go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. And check out the CC Radio 3 and everything else, because it's not only great products and great deals, but great information as well. So ccradio.com for the CC Radio 3 and everything else. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Yeah!
Somebody's always trying their best to lead her astray. Somebody's
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Loved It since it came out in 1964. Somebody's always trying. In fact, my favorite Ted Taylor record by far, and there were many. He actually started out in the Mighty Clouds of Joy and then was doing the Soul Seekers, and they went to Modern Records, and it wasn't one of the Bahari brothers. They approached Maxwell Davis for a recording deal, and he said, well, what I really need you to do is secular R&B, and they said, well, all right, so yeah, we can change our minds. So they became both the Cadets on Modern and the Jacks on RPM, which was a label owned by Modern, and you probably know all sorts of things, but most people know by the Cadets Stranded in the Jungle, and that was probably the only one that Ted Taylor wasn't there for that session. Prentice Moreland did that. But he went on and was on OK, and OK was distributed through Epic. And so hence, when Al Gallico got Billy Sherrill a job as an in-house producer at Epic and Columbia, sure enough, they threw him the OK stuff and said, hey, you like R&B, hey, do this guy. And what was interesting about that record to me was also who wrote it. And if you look at the label, it just says Jay Byers. But Joyce Byers, and she was married to Bob Johnston, who was a great recording engineer, but anyway, was quite the writer. She wrote Timmy Euro's What's the Matter, Baby? Is It Hurting You? In fact, one of the first things she wrote was what's Betty O'Brien recorded, She'll Be Gone, which maybe I'll play that one for you too. That was on Liberty in 1961. But she wrote that, and she wrote a bunch of stuff for Elvis and all that, but who cares? You know, it's all the R&B that she wrote that was just terrific. Talk about unlikely, and she was, but great, great stuff. So, all right, I'm glad Soroya requested it because it certainly made me smile. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh, and that is going to take us to Michael, who is on the road. Where are we going tonight, Michael?
Raleigh, you're right shotgun, and we're heading down 94 after leaving New Brunswick, Wisconsin.
Ah, okay, where am I heading?
You're heading to Chicago.
All right, okay. Well, I'm going to love every inch of 94.
And the weather's fine here.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, you know, how did Bob Crane manage to tame the fickle ionosphere, you know?
Well, as far as the ionosphere, you're not going to be able to tame it, but it's really a case of what are you using as an antenna, and he came up with the twin coil ferrite, and that's what's in those radios, and it's just terrific. Apart from that, the other thing that he used to sell that was really great was the select antenna, and it was the same kind of thing, ferrite, and you'd actually just put it in front of a radio and tune it, and you'd be amazed at what you hear. Much like, you know, turning radio in one direction or another direction, you wind up picking up, in some cases, you can pick up one station in one direction and another station on the same frequency in another direction. So, it's all about ferrite and antennas and things like that.
Gotcha. To do with this data protection and security, I was involved with security for years before I started driving truck, and it's even worse in Europe, Raleigh, because of the socialist nature of the government there, and they are really in your face. There's CCTV cameras all over Britain, and they have a data protection law, but with the permutation that the law has now been kind of diluted and it's almost amorphous. There's ways of getting information, you know, despite your perceived rights.
Yeah, it's interesting because if Germany has some of the tightest protection laws, but the protection disappears when it comes to the government using it. You know, when Amazon gets in trouble, they'll go after them like whites on rice. But when they want to use it for their own purposes, of course they do. You kind of know that. Now, you mentioned driving, and it's a real shame because back in the day when I knew a lot of over-the-road drivers, we're talking 60s now and a little into the 70s, you know, it was the idea of being alone on the road, shutting that door, and you're by yourself till you get to your destination, and you're calling your own shots and all that. And now, as you well know, you're inspected within an inch of your life.
That's exactly right. And I know where I am at every minute and exactly what's happening with the truck.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, well, and the worst thing that I think is on some of these trucks where they have speed governors. Because as far as I'm concerned, if you are in the accident situation, you should be able to use whatever tool you need to get out of it. And you shouldn't be limited to how fast you can go to do it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Raleigh, there's a camera inside my cab looking at me right now.
Ugh.
Inside.
Yeah.
There's a camera at the front that's monitoring the traffic, and it will stop this truck if it feels that I haven't acted soon enough. There's also lane departure warnings. So, really, and then the ELD, which controls our time, you know, I'm a big boy. I can control my time. I'm going to go to sleep if I'm tired.
Well.
But they really ruin trucking.
Well, yes, yes. And when you're talking about hours of service, you know, I loved it because you cannot legislate biology and body clocks. And hours of service actually leads to more tired drivers because maybe at that particular rest time, they don't need it, but they might need it another time and they're not going to get it.
Of course.
Oh, no, I know. It's crazy what's happened. And everybody I know, of course, now they've aged out of it. But if they haven't, everybody I know who was a driver in the 60s would not drive today no matter what.
No, no, get it up. But all those positions have been taken over by people coming to this country. You know, there's a lot of opportunity there for them. And so that's changed the whole economy to scale.
Yes.
You know, when it comes to driving, everything about it.
Yes. No, you're so right, and it's so sad. The other thing is, you know, when I was first driving, it's when the interstate system was first being developed, and I said I'd drive every inch of it. Of course, there weren't that many inches. But there I was as a 16-year-old in a Corvette driving alone, and I'll tell you what, I would forget that gas actually fuels the cars, so I can't tell you how many times I ran out, and every time a trucker saved me, and nothing untoward ever happened, and they were just, you know, that let me take you to the station, let me take you back, you know, I mean, the nicest people. And I remember one time I had heat prostration, and oh man, this guy helped me big time. And you know, it was your safety. You knew when you saw the big rig, you could kind of smile and say, I'm okay. And now, you know, I always blame the four-wheelers because, of course, they're trying to break the laws of physics, not the traffic laws. But the reality is that these days, I see big rigs do things that big rigs never would have done before, where I say, who the hell is behind the wheel for that? You know, and if they're being monitored, somebody's not watching.
That's right. The culture has changed, Joe, as it is across the spectrum, you know, culturally.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, we're not going to change it, unfortunately.
No.
What I wanted to do is also say, Raleigh, I was thinking about you over the last few weeks, and I haven't called in, but, you know, it reminded me of a song that George Jones wrote called Who's Going to Fill Their Shoes? You know, with your commitment and knowledge and dedication to radio and music and everything, you know, it's unfortunate because I don't hear anybody else that can fill the shoes that you've filled for so many years. So, you know, hats off to you.
Well, nice of you to say. But actually, the guy who makes it possible for me to do this is, thank God, Young and Sean Compton. And if it weren't for Sean, you wouldn't be hearing me do this because there are some of us old fossils who are still around, but they don't get the opportunity. And GN, they're to be commended. I mean, I do this naturally. It's what comes to me. But the fact that they'll allow it on the air is just...
Yes.
Awesome to me.
Yeah, I agree. It's a unique quality of WGN, and I'm delighted to have it on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to make a request, if you'd be so kind, to play a song by Tony Bennett. It's one of his earliest recordings. It's called Cold, Cold Heart.
Oh, sure. I got that. I'll do it for you.
Thank you very much.
Sure thing.
Good talking to you.
Likewise. Thanks for calling. All right, so always good to have Michael take me along for the ride, even if we're being watched within an inch of our life. And that is sad because it's a whole different culture now. Yeah, so, but hours of service, don't get me started. And yeah, that's why I always supported OIDA because they really went after them for that. All right, so we'll get to Stacy in Algonquin, James on the South Side, and hopefully you two coming up on WGN Radio.
I tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme, a memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? Another love before my time made your heart sad and blue, and so my heart is paying now for things I didn't do. In anger, unkind words are said that make the teardrop start. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that is Tony Bennett's version, and the big hit it was on Columbia in 1951. But interestingly, it was a cover. Well, I realize a lot of people covered this song. I think there were like 245 covers of it. But the it's another song that was written by Hank Williams, right? And he had it out. He recorded it around December of 1950. And in 51, about 6 months before Columbia put it out on Tony Bennett, Hank Williams version got quite a bit of airplay.
I try so hard, my dear, to show that you were my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme. A memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart?
Yeah, like I say, 245 versions of that. Had he lived, he would have been a wealthy man, and he died all too young and with more demons than the rest of us could possibly conjure. But boy, could he write. So 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And Stacy said, it's a bad day. Well, Stacy, what's wrong? Stacy? Are you still with me, Stacy? Oh, no, it must have been a terrible day for Stacy. Stacy's left the room. All right, well, if you feel like calling back, Stacy, by all means, we would love to have you. And but remember, this may be the longest day of the year. And, of course, that's of sunlight. You know, they're all 24 hours. It doesn't change. But there's more sunlight today than any other day. But tomorrow is yet another day. And whatever is bad today can evaporate overnight. Of course, it can go the other way, too, I understand. And that's the odd thing about living life on the earth plane, is it can turn on a dime. And that's kind of scary when you're kind of on a high and things are going well. But by all means, take it to heart when they're not. Yeah, nothing lasts forever. It will get better. I was just reading that only 13% of 8th graders are proficient in U.S. history, and I would think that's probably more like 3%, considering how they teach it. Yeah, that's right. You hear things like, America's a democracy. America is not a democracy. It's a republic. And don't forget that. And if you don't understand it, we'll tell you about the foxes and the hens having dinner. All right, so James on the South Side with his stories. All right, James. So James is back.
How are you?
I can't complain. Yeah, so what's new?
Okay. Well, found out, well, that thing about the couple. Apparently the paramedics who went to take the care for them and found them are now ill as well. That was a story I found right after I got off the phone. It was like a bunch of stories where it piled up on the thing. And I said, wow, now this gets interesting.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what Leah was saying last night after we talked. She said she had heard that the people who went in there, whether it was the paramedics or the people cleaning the room or whatever, that they went in there and were overcome as well. So from what? That's what I wonder. What's going on?
There was a story that came up, I guess this YouTuber goes in rather oddities. He's the ghost by name Conspiracy, I think is his handle.
Well, as usual, you outdo yourself on your links.
Well, he said that a woman had taken something. She was like terminally ill with cancer. I think uterine cancer, I think, or cervical cancer. And anyway, when they rushed her to the hospital, and what ended up happening, she died there, but everybody was getting sick around her. She was became a hazmat situation.
Well, I wonder. I hope they'll get to the bottom of it. But yeah, it sounds like it would be worthy of hazmat. So I hope we'll know. Now, like I say, you come up with some of the most interesting stories. But the one that, I'll tell you, if you want to go on a diet and you're really trying to curb hunger, just read the story about the U.S. approving chicken made from lab-grown meat. That's right. Cultivated cells.
Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely not. I don't know. And they've approved the sale of it. Two California companies are going to offer lab-grown chicken. I bet you they don't call it that.
Oh, no. They're going to find some creative name,
yes.
Chicken that'll kick your butt or some sort of crazy name to basically take the edge off.
Yeah, cultivated chicken. Well, in Singapore, where they already sell this stuff, they call it good meat.
That's creative. And I don't know how they're going to come up with a better name.
Oh, I think they will. I absolutely think they will. They do have good meat based in Alameda with a 100,000 square foot plant. No, absolutely not. And they said, this is a chicken thigh. No, I'm sorry. It's never been near a chicken, any part of the chicken. No thighs, no legs, no nothing.
But this reminds me of Star Trek when remember when he materialized the food.
Right, exactly. Now, you had two stories juxtaposed that I thought were very interesting. One, just unbelievable. She'll never be mother of the year. An Ohio mother who left her 15-month-old child at home for a week when she went on vacation, went from Puerto Rico and to Detroit and back or what have you. But bottom line is when she returned home a week later, her daughter was unresponsive. Well, ultimately, her daughter was dead. This was in Cleveland where she lived. And so she died. And so she's being charged. But while I was reading that, which has got to be the worst experience of parenting that I've heard in months, I get Kevin Costner's estranged wife demands $248,000 per month for child support. I want to know, what could the kid need for $248,000 a month?
I don't know. I mean, unless you're going to give him his own classmate.
Well, if you want, grown in a lab, I don't know, but
Oh, and speaking of the lab thing, I just thought of a name they might try: Flip the Bird.
Oh God, you might be onto something. I'd give a call and say, hey, I got the perfect name. If you'll give me royalties for this, I will give you the perfect name for your product. I think you've got it.
I've had to look it up, and given this phone's propensity for, like, when it was out of commission at time, I'm afraid to go down that wormhole too far.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But as always, thank you. Glad you're back among the living and sending the links.
Okay.
All right,
you
thanks.
Take care.
You too. All right, so we have two more hours to talk about this. But yes, $248,000 per month in child support. Yeah. How many kids are there? Is this a zip code? No. And she's saying the number is much less than the amount needed to maintain the children in their accustomed lifestyle. we need to go over this or whatever else is on your mind. Yeah, I didn't get new tabloids, but we haven't finished the old ones yet from last week. So slime from the checkout line could be next. Either way, your thoughts will trump all of that if you'll just call on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Betty O'Brien. Yeah, an R&B slash country singer from Dallas. And she recorded Joy Byers' first recorded song, not the first one that Joy wrote, but the first one she got recorded. She'll Be Gone, 1961, on Liberty, and a fine record. And as we were saying, she, of course, wrote Somebody's Always Trying, one of my faves, and one of Soroya's faves, too. So there. All right, so 888-876-5593. Oh, we're going to get to Johnny in Austin here in a moment, but Linda in Richton Park, what's up?
Hi, how are you today?
Can't complain. How about yourself, Linda? What's happening?
Oh, I'm doing okay. You know, I was just laying here wondering, do you interpret dreams? I said, you know, I keep having the same reoccurring dream for the last past 2 years, and I'm so tired of dreaming it.
What is it?
And I keep dreaming that I'm on my way leaving the job, you know, because our company switched offices, and we got a better office, and we had to all get all of our supplies and get everything and move out. And I keep dreaming the same dream. I'm cleaning out my desk. You know, I'm getting all my pictures off the wall and everything, saying bye to my coworkers. And I'm on my way out the door because we're leaving from that job. Same job, but another building. And when I go out the door, there's my car. It's a new car, and it's dark out there, and I can't find my way how to go to the new job. And I keep having a dream, the same dream, leaving the job.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving the job. And I'm always seeing two or three coworkers saying bye. And I'm saying, what does this mean?
You know, it's a version of a dream that's common to all of us. Like many disc jockeys have had it, where they keep dreaming they're on the air, but all of a sudden, all the copy in front of them is in a foreign language, or they're dreaming that none of the equipment works whatsoever. It's the same as, you know, people who dream that they're in school and the big final is tomorrow, and they haven't even studied or they never attended class. So it's a frustration dream. It's not a literal dream. So the question I have is, what's going on in your life?
Well, I'm basically empty nester. All my kids are grown, and my husband, he passed away in 18. And I quit working my job. I didn't retire. I just got bored. I was burned out as a counselor. I was a counselor, and people had all type of problems.
Yeah.
I was assessment counselor for people, and I had to place them on jobs in schools. Some of them were homeless. Some was in prison. Some I had to go, you know, they just had problems. You know, I've had clients that I took all day long to try to help them, to place them on a job, and find them someplace to sleep to get started. got home, watched the news. There he was on TV. He was an apartment rapist, you know, those types of people. You know, and they kind of get on your nerves after a while. So I got burned out. I remember sure. I had a client that she acted totally normal. I didn't see anything wrong with the way I should talk. When I got to counseling her for about an hour, my coworker said, Linda, look out the window at your client. I looked out the window. She was standing in front of a tree talking to it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I said, all that work for nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we refer clients everywhere. You know, we had some. We had to refer here, refer there. But we had the same client year. You know, if they do good, they'll come back and let you know. You never get rid of a client. You might see somebody on the street and they know you. I'm coming back to your office. I need your help. Mm-hmm. And this is the type of thing that we did. And then our job, we had to have like a dress code. And they had cliques on our job. So we had some ladies go home every evening and look at the home shopping network and buy outfits. But I wasn't one of those persons. So I didn't do that type of stuff. I wasn't in that clique, so. And it just, you know, I said, well, why can't I stop dreaming about this dumb job? I didn't like it when I was working it.
Right, but.
I really didn't like it. I just wanted the money.
I don't blame you. And that's good enough sometimes, but yeah, it can be a number of things, but none of them have to do with the job whatsoever. And it can, you know, you mentioned that a lot of changes have gone on with the empty nesting and all that. And so there's a question of what to do next. And there's something very liberating about quitting a job you hate. But when you're no longer doing the job and the kids aren't home and sadly your husband is no longer alive, now it's a question of what does Linda want to do next? So
yeah, that's it. I'm trying to. I'm a diabetic, and my eyes is like they say I'm. They took my driving license. I bought a car, and I can't drive it now because they say I can't legally drive anymore. So I see shadows and different things. So I do a lot of research. My girlfriend and I, you know, so I'm trying to find where can I go to try to get more help for my eyes. You know.
Yes.
So. I say, after all this, I was married for 44 years.
Wow.
And I say, when my husband passed away in 18, my last kids, they went away to college. Then all of a sudden, my eyes started getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, you know, I have to just do the best that I can. You know, I'm not going to let it get me down, you know.
Right. But and that's great. That's the attitude to have. But still, it's, you know, it's facing an unknown future. And there are so many variables here and nothing's really firmly in place. So I more than understand that. And losing your driver's license is a lot more than transportation. It's losing independence. And that's very, very frightening. Now, as far as medical care, of course, you know, retina problems with diabetes, well known. But, you know, depending, there can be help for that. Do you have a really good ophthalmologist?
I think she's pretty good. I'm thinking she's pretty good. You know, we sit and we talk about different research and what's going on, you know, in the world of people being blind. I got all type of assistance, everything I could buy and stuff, but it's not like, you know, I could see some things. I could see some things, but not a lot of things. And it's just I have to get used to it. I'm very frustrated sometimes, you know. And then another thing, the guy was talking about this. I got five sons, and three of them drive the 18-wheelers. And they're on the road across. And, you know, that I'd be always praying for them. And then my two grandsons, they took after their fathers. They drive 18-wheelers. So I got five on the road at all times.
Wow.
So I call them every morning. So I say, oh, well, you know, life got to get better. So it got to get better. So I like your show. I really love your show.
Well, it's great to have you listening. I wish I could think of something more concrete, but that dream makes sense because the frustration you're facing alone could cause that dream. So each time you have it, realize it's not about the job.
Yeah. I know. A lot of the people in my dream, I couldn't stand them. So
right.
I'm saying, why am I dreaming about this person?
Right.
You know.
Well, that's between you're between a rock and a hard place in your life right now. There's too many things up in the air. That's tough to cope with.
Yes, it is.
It is. Lot, it's yeah. It's really tough to cope with.
Really is. You know, so I love listening to your music. It gives me the calmness, you know, and it takes me back on the day so I could see and do everything, you know. So I'm trying to find some place where they might have some research. I'll let them work on one eye and leave the other eye, you know, see how it's going to come out. So,
well, good luck with that. Yeah, anything you can do to slow the progression, do it. Now, do you have your blood sugar under control?
Most of the time, yes. My A1C is pretty good.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah, that's certainly the big test for sure. Are you insulin dependent?
Oh, yes, I am. Okay. I take the pill and the insulin. So
now, when you say the pill, you're talking about metformin?
Yeah, I take metformin, and then I take the insulin. But the doctor's talking about taking me off of the insulin. He said I do so well.
Well,
I could do without that.
That might be good because anytime you're dealing with an exogenous thing like the insulin, it's tough on the body. You know, because it's just like any hormone that you're taking exogenously, you know, in a pill form or something like that, rather than the body releasing it when it needs it, it's like, here it all is, you know, and that's why you have to watch out and sometimes have the sugar cubes handy or make sure you don't go in the wrong direction and all that. That's very stressful on all of your veins and all of, you know, your body that way. So if you can do without the insulin better, but the big thing is keeping the blood sugar under control.
Yeah, well, I've been working on that, and I couldn't understand how in the heck I got diabetes in the first place because they always claim the person has to be overweight. Well,
no.
I'm far from being overweight.
No, it's not true. In fact, most of the people I know very well who are diabetic are not overweight. Now, I assume you're type 2 diabetes, not type 1?
Yeah, I'm type 2.
Okay. All right.
5'8.5", 134 pounds.
Yeah, it's not weight.
How did I get it?
Well, some of it's just genetics. You know, we're all kind of in the gene lottery, and we really don't know. So some of it's genetics. The other thing is it's very metabolic, and what one person can do in terms of diet is not a problem, and what another person does, it really affects them. So, you know, there's so many reasons for why, but the bottom line is that you're still producing insulin to some degree. Your pancreas is just not recognizing it, and if they could cure that, man, I tell you, someone would be very, very wealthy, but who knows?
Right.
But the more you can do to really eat healthy helps. I hate to even say that because here I am with my Mexican Coke by me and fudge. But the more you can do that way, the better your body is going to like it.
I try, but sometimes, you know, it gets hard. It gets hard. I have to sneak and do. Get that scoop of strawberry.
No. And
every once in a while, you know.
If you go without it forever, it's really bad because, you know, you'll be perfect, you'll be perfect, and then one day you'll eat a wedding cake. You know, you can't just not do it, but you have to find a way in moderation more than anything
else. In moderation. I just started losing my eyes all of a sudden. It just went downhill just all of a sudden. Yeah. I was doing fine, you know?
Well, yeah, that's why, you know, if you've got a good ophthalmologist, great, but somebody should be working not on telling you how to adapt to the problem, but on stopping the progression. And if there's any way to reverse some of it, that I don't know, but certainly there should be a way to stop the progression.
Oh, yeah, well, they gave me drops. I get that. Then I have another doctor sometimes. She gives me a shot of Eylea in the eye.
Oh, that's lovely, yeah.
Which is very painful.
Yeah, oh. Right. That's just, man, I cringe even thinking about that one.
Oh, it's painful, trust me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I said, well, I can't say why, Lord, why me? You know, I said, there are other people worse off than me. You know?
Always, always. You know, that's perspective. You're right.
So I'm thankful, you know. I'm thankful. I was listening to your show, and I just have fun listening to it, you know.
Well, it's always great to hear from you, Linda. And hopefully tomorrow's going to be a better day.
All right, then. All right, well, thanks. I'll be calling, and I'm listening. And like Scotty said, keep up the doo-wop.
Yes, I promise. All right. Thanks.
Keep it alive.
You betcha. I'll do that. All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, my dreams are usually the real frustrating dreams are, you know, walking down hallways that, you know, they're kind of dimly lit and you can't get out of them, or you're in stairwells that don't have any doors to get out, or you're in an elevator that's suddenly moving sideways, you know, that kind of. I've been stuck in more elevators than Otis makes. So, yeah, in my dreams. So they're never, John's the same way. He doesn't have happy dreams. So, you know, who are these people who wake up, I had such a happy dream? No, it's just a question of whether they're bad or awful. And, most of them are not night terrors, though I have those as well. But as far as the frustrating dreams, I've been stuck in more places than you can imagine. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Johnny in Austin, then we got James in Oregon, and we'll have you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Have you ever loved a woman with your heart and soul? And the very same woman talks to you, you go. Told you she would leave you and it hurted you so. It made you holler, 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 hey. I had a baby that was good and fine. And the very same woman made me lose my mind. She hugged me and kissed me to get me in the rub. I had all the tricks, but I wouldn't even move. I wouldn't move, move, move. Now it's okay. I know he don't know where it is. He got a new way. I say, Dolly got a new way. Dolly got a new way.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, it's kind of a strange transition in the middle of that, but that's Shoe Up, which was the second record by the Dandeliers. It was on States, which is a division of United, in 1955, Chicago, of course. And I played it in part because Linda said, you know, keep the doo-wop alive. Yeah. And also because it was one of Scotty's requests. He loved the Dandeliers. So there you have Shoe Up. All right, so 888-876-5593. Johnny is in Austin. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I just fell asleep after I had dinner at the dinner table, so I was a little incoherent, but I turned your show on right in the middle of Linda talking about her diabetes and going to the ophthalmologist and stuff, and it was interesting today because I took a friend of mine to an appointment at the ophthalmologist, and I took your book with me, and I was beginning to reread the book you wrote today.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, that's a good book. I imagine a lot of your listeners got it because I see that it's sold out.
Yeah, and I'm not reprinting it. At some point, I'll probably give it to my buddy who runs one of the websites and just say, here, print it. You know, I don't care.
Well, that was a good book. I'd read it a long time ago, and I thought I was looking today because, you know, they never have anything at the doctor's offices that I'm interested in reading. So I said, I better take something because I'm going to be here for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I opened, had me laughing out loud a bunch of times. But I had a couple of things I was going to mention, but as I was just listening to David Jennings' newscast, he's really
he's got a great
voice.
He's got the best voice. He really does.
Has he been there a long time?
I think so, but I don't know. I don't know. But I always hear his voice, and it puts the others to shame.
He's really good.
Very
smooth. He was mentioning this story, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's like that submarine that they can't find. It's down there with five people in it.
You're talking about the Titanic, the people who were missing, who went to look for the Titanic?
Yeah. And I've kind of followed that story a little bit, and that wasn't even why I called, but I find it rather interesting because it's one of these stories where the clock's ticking and time's running out, but...
Yeah.
I had actually heard some of the statements that this owner made, who's down there in that thing right now, in that little canister. Could you go in any condition at all? Would you get in one of those things and go down under the sea?
I'm not very curious, so you know, no, I don't have that natural curiosity. In fact, years ago when I was a news director for a station in Jacksonville, I got a knock. I was in the process of moving, so I was in a hotel for a month, a motel, actually. And I get a knock on the door, and it's the cops. And they said, well, did you hear anything last night? And I said, no. And they asked me a few more questions, and I shut the door. And then they knocked again. They said, can we ask your name and what you do? And so I told him who I was, and I said, yeah, I'm the news director, you know, for Y103. And the guy looked at me, and he said, you're in the wrong business, lady. You have no natural sense of curiosity. Everybody else asked us what was going on. It didn't even occur to me to say, oh, what's happening? You know,
let me go back to sleep.
Right, exactly, because it was morning. You know, so it's like, no, I don't care what's going on. You know, I don't know anything. Sorry. Apparently somebody got murdered, and so that was why they were trying to see were there any witnesses. Well, I was the last person who could witness, but I guess for a moment there they were a little concerned that I didn't have natural curiosity. So no, I'm not going to get in a submarine. What for?
Well, I've only done it once, and that was, I think, in the Cayman Islands. I don't think it went down that far. And I didn't have claustrophobic feelings, but I'm kind of surprised looking back. But it wasn't like going looking at the Titanic. And I hate to really show my stupidity here, but where in the hell is the Titanic?
Well, in the North Atlantic, maybe.
Maybe.
Well, no, I say maybe. Well, you know, it's been 100 years or so. They move. So don't kid yourself. So yeah, this is a 22-foot capsule, like you say, in titanium, the Titan. And apparently this is people with more money than brains. And so, the Titan lost contact actually right after it started to dive. See, that's not a good sign right there. And so,
that was Sunday, wasn't it?
John says 900 miles from Cape Cod.
Okay.
Above Nova Scotia. Well, yeah, at least that's where it last was. But who knows? But the question is, how much oxygen do they have left? Because, see, that's the thing. There is a finite amount of oxygen, and we can argue about how much, but the one thing we can't argue about is it's limited. And so it is that these people, Shahzada Daywood and his son Suleiman from one of Pakistan's wealthiest families, and a French maritime expert who's been on a bunch of dives to the Titanic, and Stockton Rush Ocean Gate Expeditions, which operates the vessel, and Hamish Harding, some British businessman and explorer. Well, it's certainly not Gilligan's Island, that's for damn sure. And so apparently it's a private company in Everett, Washington that operates this. And they travel to shipwrecks and underwater canyons, and they provide submersibles. All right, well, okay, this wouldn't be a trip I'd be taking, but that's the deal. The guy who founded it was, I don't know if he's still with us, so I guess we'll know if we find the damn capsule, but he is an aerospace engineer.
How in the world, when you go underwater like that, do you communicate back and forth, or do you?
Well, at this point, you don't. I think you're supposed to be able to some degree, at least part of it, but you don't. Now, the interesting thing is, this is not the first Titanic tour. They've been doing this for about 2 years, and the cost is $250,000, $250,000 to travel to the Titanic. What could you possibly want to do that would cost $250,000? Well, I don't know. Maybe this is why Costner's soon-to-be ex-wife is asking for $248,000 a month in child support. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Apparently, for a while, there are people, naysayers, but there always are, who say, well, it's experimental and there's possible catastrophic problems. And so, they pinpointed where this thing is, like you say. So, like John said, it's in the North Atlantic. When you say it's off Cape Cod, it's really off Cape Cod. I mean, it's far. The North Atlantic. And,
well, in the location where they dropped this thing off, how far is it to their, this was supposed to be a short little excursion, right?
Well, a few days, yeah. And so
they were going to go for a few days?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And so anyway, they the first time we knew for sure where it was, about 400 miles off Newfoundland, was not that long ago, about 1985. And so, this is not like a few hour journey. I think it's days, actually, but I'm not sure. Let's see if we can find out. I can probably look at their website and see if they're advertising the tour. So
They've actually got a website on this, because I heard on some talk show today a clip of the guy who owns it, and he sounded rather arrogant. He said, no, we don't hire experienced people that have done this kind of stuff before. We train our own people. You know, he's sort of a little bit self-assured for what he was doing, and the talk show host that was discussing this said, well, you might have rethought that and had some experience people down there who've dealt with this kind of stuff before rather than training your own people. It was something like that anyway.
Well, the Coast Guard apparently has heard some noises, underwater sea noises. So they've narrowed the search due to the noises, but I don't know if it's, this capsule or just an angry fish, who knows. But I have no idea. But the deal is, yeah, they have a website. I'm going to try to find it now. I know because, they advertise these trips. It's not the only trips they make, actually. So
and is their website still up, or have you gotten
there
yet?
I'm looking for it. OceanGate. OceanGate.com. Crewed submersibles for charter and scientific exploration. Crewed submersibles for commercial projects, scientific research, and exploration. All right, so they have the Titanic Survey Expedition Next Mission 2023. Well, I guess they're on it now. Let's learn more, shall we? And
sure.
Let's see what it says, because this is right on their website. Join a Titanic expedition. Explore the world's most famous shipwreck. Learn more. All right. Limited space available, I guess. So, all right, let's see. 8 days, 7 nights. Maximum people, 6 per week. Well, they're not all underground for all underwater for all that time. Wi-Fi is available from May through June. Let's see, in the deep ocean. Follow Jacques Cousteau's footsteps and become an underwater explorer, beginning with a dive to the wreck of the RMS Titanic. This is your chance to step outside of everyday life and discover something truly extraordinary. Become one of the few to see the Titanic with your own eyes. Intrepid travelers will sail from the Atlantic coast of Canada for an 8-day expedition to dive on the iconic wreck that lies 380 miles offshore and 3,800 meters below the surface. Your dive will provide not only a thrilling and unique travel experience, by the way, it does say you dive, but I'm sure they meant your, but also the scientific community learn more about the wreck and the deep ocean environment. Every dive has a scientific objective, and you can learn more about it.
Wi-Fi. Why don't they just send it?
No, they don't have Wi-Fi. Yeah, well, they have Wi-Fi. They're advertising it. It's currently underway, the departure. Yes. Now, 2014, they're planning Mission 1, June 12th through the 20th, and Mission 2, June 21st through the 29th. You get a bedroom, stateroom. The price includes one submersible dive, private accommodations, all required training, expedition gear, and meals. The price excludes airfare, hotel, and meals before departure, travel, or personal insurance. So you get one dive, but let's see what the itinerary is, because I don't know how long you dive.
Well, okay. How big is this thing
like,
again?
I don't know, 22 feet or something. So anyway, day one, you're in St. John's, Newfoundland. Okay. And you meet the crew and you board the vessel and all that. All right. Day two, you're in the North Atlantic. Yeah, you're continuing to steam out to the dive site. Day 3 through 7, you're at the site. Diving could begin as early as day 3. On a dive day, we will begin with final dive checks on the bank deck before heading to a bridge for a pre-dive meeting. Then you will climb inside Titan, OceanGate's 5-person submersible, to begin the dive. Those who are not diving the first day will be incorporated into other areas of dive ops, like diving the dinghy, assisting the expedition manager, collecting media, or simply enjoying watching the team work together to do something truly unique. Now, once the submersible is launched, you'll begin to see alien life forms whiz by you. What? As you sink deeper, you'll be sinking deeper, all right, and deeper into the ocean. The descent takes approximately 2 hours, but it feels like the blink of an eye. You may assist the pilot with comms, okay, and tracking. Take notes for the science team about what you see outside of the viewport. Watch a movie or eat lunch. There's a private toilet at the front of the sub if nature calls. Lovely. Soon you will arrive at depth 2 hours later. And after some navigating across the seafloor and debris field, literally see what you've been waiting for, the RMS Titanic. The content expert on board will point out key features, be they of the wreck itself or life that calls this corner of the ocean home. Enjoy hours of exploring the wreck and debris field before making the two-hour ascent to the surface. So it's a day trip. 2 hours up, 2 hours down, spend a little time there. Once on the deck, you'll be welcomed back by the expedition crew and be able to share the story of your incredible accomplishment. On the days you're not diving, you may be part of a dive ops crew. All right, so day 8, you go back to St. John's, Newfoundland, then you go home. So these are day trips, apparently. I would say if it's a 4-hour round trip to get there, you probably spend about 2 hours. I don't know how long you need to be on the Titanic. So probably 6-7 hours. But see, the deal is it went down and did not come up.
Yeah, and so there was no way to communicate. I mean, I don't understand technically how that they would communicate underwater like that. I mean, it's not like they'd drop a wire down there.
Well, you can learn all about the Titan, the submersible. They have pictures and diagrams and all that, and you can see all about it. And not only the Titan, but they have Cyclops 1, another submersible, which transports 5 people to 500 meters. That's 1,640 feet below sea level. So anyway, okay then. So that's the deal. $250,000 to be scared witless.
Or lost forever.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you really don't expect, well, obviously, you don't expect that to happen. But then you say to yourself, all right, they know about where these people are. Forget about the noises. You still kind of know where they are. They know exactly where they were when they went down. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess they lost communication pretty early into the descent.
And they've been doing these ventures for how long?
A few years? Yeah, I guess. About.
Okay.
Well, they have an about section. So our story. Well, let's find out. Our story. Open the ocean.
What's the name of this website again?
OceanGateExpeditions.com.
Okay.
No, I'll try to put a link on Raleigh.net after the show. And they're dream dive sites. You know, I mean, I guess wrecks of the world, right? You can see the Titanic. You can see the Andrea Doria. You can see hydrothermal vents in the Azores. The Battle of the Coral Sea. I didn't even know they were fighting. The Tongue of the Ocean. Hudson Canyon. Croatia's Underwater Museum. And Pacific Ocean Seamounts. So those are the deal. And apparently it's a company organized under the laws of the Bahamas.
Oh,
there you go. Well, nothing says security like the Bahamas. All right.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
and so that's their story. And
David Jennings caught my attention when he read that story. I'd kept up with it a little bit, but it's one of those news stories like, oh, well, there's not a whole lot of time left. We'll kind of follow it. So in the background, I've just been keeping an ear open for it, and that just kind of brought it all back. But what I was calling to tell you is that I enjoyed the Tony Bennett song, Cold, Cold Heart, and I really love the Hank Williams version of it, too.
Yeah.
Which brings me to, do you have to take a break, or are you okay?
I don't know. Maybe I should. And thank you for being a radio guy. You see, I'd forget all about that. But I let me just in case. We'll be returning in moments on WGN Radio. Thank you.
just sit right back and you'll hear a tale, tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour, a 3-hour tour. And it makes me wonder. Now the ship's aground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle, with Gilligan, the skipper, a millionaire, and his wife, the movie star.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I couldn't resist it. Yes, Gilligan's Stairway, of course. I laugh every time I hear Dr. Demento, of course, popularized it, but I remember, I don't know the setting, but I once played it for Henny Backus, Jim Backus's wife. She just loved it. I have to have a copy of that. And so we got her one, and yeah, it was a lot of fun, and Jim was still alive at that time, and a good guy he was. All right, so back to Johnny going about this, this shipwreck, which I actually never really thought about, but it was the third such voyage they were making, and the latest that I hear is they think it's on the bottom of the ocean. They don't know for sure, but they're sending down some robotic thing to have a look.
I wonder how long it takes to get down there.
Well, apparently 2 hours as far as this goes, but that's how it was supposed to take them. But I don't know. That's allegedly the deal that I got from NBC, where they're frantic because, of course, you know, it's running out of oxygen. They don't know exactly when, but they figured yesterday there was about 40 hours left. So that would mean that we're now, you know, heading toward a borrowed time. But the deal is, you know, the then thing, there are people who are already raising questions about the liabilities involved, you know, if they don't get the people back. Yeah,
I wonder if you have to sign some kind of waiver disclaimer thing to take that.
Well, that's not
adventure.
The question. You do, but that's not the question. The question is, are they enforceable? You see, it's just like when you have your car valet parked, you know, on the other side of the ticket, it says they're not responsible, basically, if they cream your car. Well, guess what? Yes, they are. You know, they can go ahead and have you sign, you know, you take that from the ticket all you want, but they're still responsible.
That could go for a lot of things.
Yeah, well, that's right. And, of course, well, you know, on more ways than one, yes. But think about it. I mean, that's what family court is all about. It's about enforcing prenups, postnups, whatever. And very often, they're ruled to be unenforceable. So stay where you are. Don't go away. I'll keep monopolizing your time as we have another hour of this, talking to Johnny Gowen, my buddy. And we got James in Oregon, who got a request, and Bruce in Elwood, and Eduardo in Tampa. So we have another hour to talk to you right here on WGN Radio.
I want to dedicate this next tune to all the pretty girls in the audience. Do you remember in the fairy tale how the wicked witch's spell changed the handsome prince to a toad? Through the power of her potion, she handed him the notion he was lower than the dirt in the road. And though she left him green and warded, her evil plan was thwarted when there chanced to happen by a young miss, who in spite of his complexion offered her affection and broke the wicked curse with her kiss. Well, if you've never been a frog kissing, then you don't know what you've been missing. There's a world of opportunity under each and every log. If you've never been a charm breaker, and if you've never been a handsome prince maker, just to slow down, turn around, bend down, and kiss you a frog. Once upon a time ago, I was down and feeling low, like a lonely frog in a pond. Life was just a joke, and I was very near a croak, and I was zapped by life's wicked wand. Then in the depth of my depression, there came a true expression of a love from a lady so sweet.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Chet Atkins, one of the funniest guys ever to work in Nashville. Frog Kissin', and that's the live version, but there was a single in 1975 that was just terrific that Ray Stevens produced and arranged, and Buddy Calb wrote it, though. Frog Kissin', and I played it because Chet Atkins would have turned 99 yesterday. Hard to believe. Yeah, born in 1924 in Luttrell, Texas, had colon cancer, sadly, and he was diagnosed in the mid-90s, but he died in 2001. So rest in peace, Chet Atkins. You made us all smile. So speaking of Nashville, we were talking about Hank Williams Sr. Yeah, Peck's bad boy, but boy, could he write with Johnny. So yeah, amazing how much that man wrote.
Oh, yeah, and he died so young. And before I tell you the story, I got an idea for three bumpers, and you pick one, and I bet you I know what it's going to be, and it doesn't have to be tonight, of course, but one of them would be Heard the Long, Long Whistle Blow by Hank Williams Sr., Dungry Doll by Eddie Fisher, or I Like Everything About You by Jimmy Hughes, and I think I know which one you're going to go with.
Yeah, you betcha.
Speaking about Hank Williams Sr., though, I had a friend that worked in West Virginia who I knew back when I worked up at WKAZ in 1969. And over the years, he told me he knew this this man who had been retired named Howard Janey, J-A-N-E-Y, I believe. And Howard Janey was the first police officer, possibly a sergeant, not a sergeant, a sheriff, who was the first one on the scene in Oak Hill, West Virginia, when they reported that Hank Williams Sr. had a problem. They were going through Oak Hill, West Virginia, and Officer Janey was the first one on the scene.
Wow.
And they didn't know what was wrong with Hank, but I think he'd probably been drinking along the way. They had a young driver in that car as they were passing through. I think they stopped at an old gas station. This was in the middle of the night, from what I remember, and I can't even recall the year that Hank Williams Sr. died. But at any rate, my friend used to say, "You need to talk to Mr. Janey sometime." I see him at the cafe at lunch every once in a while. And boy, back in the mid-70s, and I wish I would have had a tape recorder on that phone. But I got a call from my friend, and he said, "I'm having lunch here, and I'm here with Mr. Janey. Mr. Janey wants to talk to you." And I talked to this retired police officer, sheriff, and he told me the whole story about the night that he went out and saw Hank Williams Sr.
Yeah.
For the first time, back in the back of that car, and the people were saying, "We need to get him to a hospital." And Mr. Janey said, "Well, folks, you can do anything you want to, but I'm going to tell you right now, that man's dead."
Exactly. Yeah, and what I understand is he found some empty beer cans and unfinished handwritten lyrics to a song in the back of that Cadillac convertible.
Oh, I didn't remember it was a Cadillac, no,
yes.
Nor a convertible. But what year did Hank die? Was it 47?
January 1st, 1953, 29 years old.
Okay, so I was already here.
Yeah. And, you know, but in a way, Hank Williams Sr., who, of course, was truly Peck's bad boy, and everybody who was in the music business going that far back had plenty of stories, but he was born with pain. He had an undiagnosed case of spina bifida, mild, but it gave him lifelong pain. And so his abuse of alcohol, other drugs, this guy was in pain nonstop, back pains, and it caused him from you know, early teen years to be dependent on alcohol and prescription drugs. And, you know, of course, that's what got him kicked out of the Grand Ole Opry, and Audrey, his wife, left him and all that kind of stuff. But he was, I think, going to perform in Charleston that day and had to cancel that because there was an ice storm. And so he hired a college kid to drive him to his next appearance, which would have been New Year's Day in Canton, Ohio. And so in Knoxville, they stopped at the Andrew Johnson, and the driver, the kid, the teen driving, requested a doctor because he was, it was alcohol, and he was also taking chloral hydrate. And so a doctor gave him, quote unquote, B12, laced with laced with morphine. And then they stopped at that restaurant in Bristol, Virginia, and then Carl kept driving, and then that was that gas station in Oak Hill that you're talking about, and that's where he was discovered unresponsive. And insufficiency of the right ventricle of the heart is what is on the death certificate. So, he had medical problems out the yin-yang, and that doesn't necessarily excuse some of his more interesting behavior, but he clearly was in pain. And by 52, he was just horribly in pain, habitually drunk and all that. And that's when the Grand Ole Opry said, well, we'll see you later. And he went back to KWKH and WBAM, the Big Bam in Birmingham. Of course, that daytimer that was so...
He wasn't a disc jockey, he just performed.
No, he performed, absolutely. Well, this is like 1950, so that's what these shows were. Very often,
right,
they'd be hosted by a performer, other performers were there. No, they're not playing records. It was weird because it was getting so bad that one by one, everybody in Nashville stopped working with him. And by that time, he had started to have heart problems. And I would assume that the right ventricle problems probably came from the cocktail of drugs he'd been doing for so long. And of course, there's no shortage of people when you're that well known and all that who will prescribe that for you. And, whether it was amphetamines or Secanol or chloral hydrate, you name it, he was getting it. And so that was the deal there. So, yeah, it was very sad.
How old was he when he died? Wasn't he still in his 20s?
29.
And just to think of all he did in such a short amount of life.
Yeah, the amount of music that he generated was utterly unbelievable in terms of volume. And it was just tremendous. And while I'm sure that it was impossible to be around him and work with him at the end, I'm just positive it was. At the same time, what he left us with was so much. And I know at his funeral, Roy Acuff sang "I Saw the Light," and Red Foley did "Peace in the Valley," and all that, and it was all his songs as far as that goes. And so,
Did he write all those?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how many songs, you probably don't know, but I wonder how many songs Hank Sr. wrote.
I would think he wrote in the hundreds, as far as that goes. But obviously, they weren't all hits. But, I mean, this guy, just like they found the lyrics, which I would have loved if somebody saved that from the beer cans and everything else they found in that car, because there's just so many things that he wrote. And, that's why it was always a big question of who was the rightful heir to this, because there were, Audrey was divorced from him, and then there was another wife he married like a few months before he died. And so there were, but hey, good looking. I mean, things that were just classics that he wrote. So.
Okay, well, I don't know how many kids he had. He had Hank Jr., right?
Yeah, daughter, Jet, who was, I think, an illegitimate child. Jet, I remember.
And then he's got is it a grandson that's gay?
That I don't know. Would it be Hank Jr.?
There's one. It's Hank's Jr.'s son.
All right.
Who was also a singer, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
He looks a lot like Hank Sr.
Yeah, Hank Williams had a heck of a career in for a while there in Nashville in the 70s. Hank Jr., he did a number
of... Oh, God, I love his stuff.
Yeah, so he absolutely was around. But there, the first kid died, like, early on, like, right after he married Audrey Shepard. And he died, but then... there were other people who claimed that they were his illegitimate son, which turned out not to be true. But this this girl, Jet, I think was absolutely a daughter, and Audrey was not her mother. But, you know, yeah, who were his kids other than Hank Jr.? There were others, but...
Well, I think this kid would be his grandson.
Yeah.
Who, and I can't think of his name, but it's Hank, of course, Hank Jr.'s son. And I don't think I've even heard his song. I don't think he's a country singer at all, but he looks like Hank Sr. to me.
Huh. Well, very, very well could be. You know, I know the first one was born like 1949, and then
the great great grandson.
No, right? No, but Hank Williams Jr. would have been born about 1950 or 51, and Jet was the daughter who had to be. It was a court fight to recognize her, and that was the deal. So. Yeah, Bobby Jett, and was the woman he had an affair with, and she gave birth to Jett Williams a week after Hank Williams Sr. died. So Hank Williams Jr. was 3 years old at the time, so he would have been right after the child who died. I guess Audrey got pregnant again, and that was Hank Jr., so that's the deal.
Oh, okay, very interesting. Yeah. Down memory lane we went.
Yeah.
By the way, I bought the Neil Sedaka box set of his 8 CDs.
Oh, good. Okay.
I put a watch thing on eBay, and the seller wanted to get rid of it, so I got a pretty good price on that 8 CD set. So that would be about 200 songs, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I can't wait to hear it, especially if you hear something you've never heard before that you really like. I want to know what it is.
I want to hear some of these in other languages. Oh, by the way, on your station, KJ, you play a favorite song of mine called I Just Want to Stay Here by Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet.
Yeah.
That is also has been recorded in Spanish.
Yes, yes. And I, you know, I think about that every now and then. Should I put a foreign language version on? But I haven't yet.
Oh, if you ever do that, you got to put on Ring of Fire in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
By Johnny Cash.
All right, good deal. Well, it is.
All right, it's
always
a pleasure
wonderful.
Talking to
yes,
you.
Yes, thank you
for.
Yes, thank you for calling. Always makes my night.
Great.
Okay, thanks. Okay, bye.
Talk to you later.
So,
bye.
888-876-5593. James got requests. Bruce and Elwood has some stuff. And Stacy called back. All right. Hopefully it's getting better, but we'll talk to Stacy. And Eduardo, I think, wanting to talk about Astrid Gilberto because it says Brazilian vocalist who died recently. And I thought, well, Gal Costa, that's a year earlier. So I'm thinking Astrid. We'll find out. And hopefully we'll hear from you, too, coming up on WGN Radio.
About you, oh, baby, I like the way you squeeze me. I like the way you bleed. Everything you do, you're one in a million, girl. You're the most.
WGN Radio. I'm Holly James. Well, there it is. Johnny's request, Jimmy Hughes. I like everything about you. 1968 on Volt. Yeah, Al Jackson produced it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Going to do it in order. James from Oregon's been waiting 50 minutes, so he gets the floor. All right, James, thanks for waiting. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Hey, I'm okay. Yeah, I was going to mention something about Linda and that, too. Watch that insulin. I had a friend in Texas that was taking 3 to 4 different types of insulin, one after he ate, one once a day, and one once a week, stuff like that.
Mm-mm.
And his endocrinologist said that his A1C was too good, and so he stopped seeing her, and then he weaned himself off of insulin by himself, and his A1Cs have been perfect. His blood's been running pretty good, you know, just watching his diet.
That's great.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's, I don't deny myself anything. I have a soda once in a while. I have some ice cream once in a while. I have some sweets once in a while. I just don't do it every day, all day.
Right.
You know, like
right.
That.
Moderation. That's absolutely the key. I agree.
Yeah. Hey, I was going to, I heard of Kyle Petty, the race car driver.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I didn't know. He was on the Grand Ole Opry tonight.
Oh, really?
And he sang a couple. Yeah, he sang a couple of songs, and one of them was "Where Are the Movie Cowboys?" He said he wrote that, remembering when he was a young lad, he and his dad used to sit and watch Saturday morning westerns on TV.
Wow!
And then the other one, I heard, and now I thought maybe you'd play it. With the NASCAR race going on in Chicago, it's called Old King Richard by Kyle Petty.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, that's it. I know you got a lot of people backed up, so
I will
I'm
look
just
gonna for
put that.
That
out there.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it, James.
Yep.
All
okay,
right.
Take care.
So,
bye.
Really, James is a trooper. He waited over 50 minutes. All right, so we'll get to Bruce in Elwood, and we've got Eduardo in Midway, and in Tampa Bay. He's no longer in Midway. That was a long time ago. He relocated, and Stacy in Algonquin is going to be calling back. All right, so plenty to do and still room for you on WGN Radio.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood, and he shook his head and said, "This ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk one size too small. No spark plug wires are a little too long, and your main prog spawner's nearly gone. Your injector ports are stripped, and that ain't all. The torque converter's running low on torque, and that water pump's nearly down a quart. We caught it all in time, so you're in luck." He said, "I've got the time and I've got the parts. Just give me the word and I'm ready to start. I think we can bring her in for $800. But don't be downhearted, I can fix it for you, sonny. It won't take too long, it'll just take money." And he said, "Aren't you that songwriter guy?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "So am I." He sat down and played me a song by the grease rack. When he finished singing, he gave me a smile, and I closed my eyes and pondered a while. And he said, "What do you think? I don't hold nothing back." Well, I gave him my most sorrowful look, and I said, "This song's got a broken hook, but I can order you a new one from Nashville, but it won't be cheap. And I know you've been using a cut rate thesaurus, cause your adverbs are backed up into your course. Now your verse is running on verbs that are way too weak. But don't be downhearted, I can fix it for you, sonny. It won't take too long."
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, there is Alan Jackson from 2004 on Arista. Yeah, a single in its own right, and of course from the What I Do album, and that's for Stacy, who is a big Alan Jackson fan. All right, so Bruce is in Elwood. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
How you doing, Raleigh?
All right, what's going on, Bruce?
I think our Navy has a real conundrum over this missing submarine.
You do?
Yep, because if it went down and crunched or made any kind of a noise, they know where it is. But they can't tell anybody.
Oh, that's interesting.
because the way they know is top secret.
That's interesting.
Because if you go back 50 years, you remember when the Scorpion went down?
Yeah.
In 68, the Scorpion sunk 400 miles off the Azores.
Right.
Within a couple hours, they knew within a quarter mile where it was. And they actually heard the torpedo that hit it.
Yeah.
The Scorpion didn't crush. It was actually hit by a torpedo, either its own torpedo or a Russian torpedo. They're not sure. But they have a system called SOSUS, and it listens all over. I mean, they can probably tell when a nuclear submarine flushes its toilet in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, the Navy sent their salvage system. Now, I wonder...
I know, but this system...
Yeah, I know. They don't want to show it off. No, I get that. I get that.
They never let that stuff out about the Scorpion for years and years. Yeah. It finally leaked out years later that they were able to do that. They can't give up their capabilities of what they have.
Well,
I mean, it's heartless, but for five people.
Well, I hope they can come up with some reason. I know that the search site was about 2.5 times the size of Connecticut or something or whatever, 2.5
yeah,
miles
well,
deep and the size of, yeah, something like that. So, yeah, I'd be... be very interesting. I mean, I don't know what they want to use for an excuse that they found it, but I sure hope they'll come up with something that can let him do it.
Well, they can't get it up even if they do find it. If it's down, they have no capability to get it up.
Well, so if it's sitting there on the ocean floor, those that are looking for it can't get it up, so to speak, as it were?
No, there's... They maybe can send the ROV down there and try and put straps around it, but that's going to take hours and hours and hours. It's not like we have anything that can go down there. I've been following this pretty close.
Okay.
And it's like we have nothing can go down there and like pick it up and bring it up.
Because they have been sending robotics down there. I don't know that anybody's gotten there or found anything yet, but what you're saying is that the robotics find it, there's not much they can do about it?
That's what they're saying. I mean, they sent that one ship out today with some cables and stuff, but think about it. If it say it was 700 feet down, halfway down, or even 1,000 feet down, if it lost power, it could drift for 100 miles.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I was saying as far as we don't know where it is now.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, it's not the only thing that hit the water. I think we're still looking for that Malaysian airline flight, MH370.
And well, yeah,
but
the North Atlantic, because of the North Atlantic is covered, and one of the listening posts back then, of course, I mean, that's 50 years ago, was in Newfoundland.
Yeah.
And then there's like some in the Caribbean and the Canary Islands, and they triangulate that noise.
Well,
they know everything that happens under the water.
It's interesting because one of the five people who allegedly are on it, well, I won't say allegedly, they know who's on it. One of the five who are on it was a French Navy diver. So you would think that he certainly would have training into know how to alert people if things went wrong. So, you know, it would seem like these people would have been adept at being able to, you know, be noticed, if nothing else.
And yeah, but they had no radio. They just had what they call a ping device where it would ping, and it could send a short text message up in the ping to the ship up above, because there's no radio. Radio signals won't go down.
Well, that my next question was, they allegedly had communication, but whatever they were using, how much communication did they have? At some point, they're too deep for any.
Well, they were supposed to send that ping message up every 15 minutes.
And would that, now assuming things didn't go horribly wrong, would that have been all the way to the bottom? I mean, was that ping message supposed to be able to be audible even when they were at their destination?
Yes, I think so. But they didn't make it to the destination. They weren't going long enough to be down there.
Right, right. No, this was fairly early on in the descent. There were no more pings.
But if glass thing crushed or something, and it flooded and then crushed, or crushed and then flooded, the U.S. Navy would know where it is.
Fascinating.
I mean, that system's all over the Atlantic and the Pacific from the Cold War.
Fascinating.
It can track Russian subs, our subs. Like I said, I think a sub could flush its toilet and they'd know it in the middle of the Atlantic.
Man, this would be perfect for Art Bell. Too bad he's no longer with us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, could you hear it?
Like I said, that scorpion, they heard the torpedo running before it hit, and then they heard it crush. It was within, like, 8 hours, they knew within a quarter mile where it was.
Uh-huh.
And that was all covered up, too. They had this big search going, because they didn't divulge our capability then either.
Right. Well, that's what I mean.
They looked for weeks. It'd
be nice if they could come up with some excuse and still be able to get to the source.
And the other thing real quick is you were talking about the waiver of liability.
Yes.
Apparently there's three places on there you sign that all say death, possible death.
Well, I'm sure. No, that's absolutely true. There's no doubt it was a waiver. But like I say, courts very often rule against all sorts of waivers. So that'll be, especially when you're dealing with people who are very wealthy, some of these people, there's going to be some lawsuits.
But that wouldn't be in a U.S. court.
No, well, that's an interesting question as well.
It's a Canadian company.
But I thought it was domiciled in U.S. in the U.S. I thought it was in Washington State.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
I know they said it was a Canadian company, and because that's why the lead of the search is actually the Canadian.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but I think there is a U.S. U.S. contact in this story somewhere.
Yeah.
They're located in Everett, Washington, which is, Snohomish County, just north of Seattle. And so I would think that, there's a U.S. contingency. So you could probably make a case for several courts, but Ocean Gate is headquartered at Waterfront Center, which is on Craftsman's Way in Everett. So, yeah, it's U.S. as far as domicile. So we shall see.
Okay, I said...
Interesting
I just
stuff.
Think if it made any noise, they knew it.
And I don't think there's an if on that. It made noise.
I mean, if they knew 50 years ago within a quarter mile of something that sunk in the middle of the Atlantic, what's 50 years more technology done, you know?
True enough. All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye, Doc.
Right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And Eduardo is in Tampa Bay, so what's up tonight?
Yeah, well, thank you for saving me on the pronunciation on Gilberto.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Esther Gilberto, you betcha.
Yeah, Tampa Times had an article on her, I think it was last week, but I just remembered about this. And so they added her, according to the article, because she knew English.
Yeah.
And they mentioned that she had gotten a payment of $120.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and she was Joao Gilberto's wife, so it was not expected to be any more than that. So, yeah. But she had a heck of a career. That song became bigger than life. And, of course, she did a number of other things, and we played some of them last week. Some of the stuff she had done with Tom Jobim were just terrific records. So, and she'd been living stateside since the mid-60s.
Yeah, more than 15 albums indicated on there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that one she did on Verve with Tom Jobim was just a great album.
So, yeah, it was definitely. Yeah, we're going to miss her, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And it's time, sadly. That's how it is. None of us get out of here alive. And, so many. Most of the early bossa nova greats are no longer with us. Like I mentioned, Gal Costa died the year before. She wasn't known stateside, but she was huge in Brazil. And, of course, many years ago, Elis Regina. And then, of course, Tom Jobim and Joao and on and on. I think Carlos Lyra might still be alive, which would be amazing. But I think he is actually, but he'd be 90 years old now. But so yeah, there's most of them are no longer with us.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they have that streaming, the Sounds of Brazil. Remember, I mentioned that
earlier.
Yes, I'm glad they have that out there, so you can hear all that stuff.
SOB Sounds of Brazil. You betcha.
Yeah. Hey, just real quick, you were talking about cats. Pretty funny here. I had two instances where I saw a cat on top of the car. Like, I was going to church, and I saw one get up on top of the car. And even my car over here at night, one got up and was, like, just, I guess they were just sleeping or just watching mm-hmm. on top of the car. It was pretty funny.
They were doing whatever they wanted to do because they're cats.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's funny, yeah.
Yeah. So why not?
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll let you get on to the next because you got 15 minutes to go.
Yeah, not even.
Maybe
I'll
call you tomorrow about
that. I would hope you do. Do that. I'll look forward to
okay.
it, and I promise not to make you wait
okay.
as long. Thanks. All right, yeah. Far too long, that's for sure. And Stacey's going to be closing out the show, so maybe we'll even try to find her another Alan Jackson coming up on WGN Radio.
How I'm getting along. I guess you think I can't make it with you gone. Well, I don't want you to worry. Don't you lose any sleep. But a man called long distance this morning, said they're thinking about putting me on the cover of the USA Today. The story of heartbreak and pain, the picture of the loneliest man they claim in the USA Today.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there's another one for Stacey. I know she's an Alan Jackson fan, so something else from the 2004 What I Do album. So, Stacey, all right. Stacey, tell me what's up.
Raleigh?
Yeah, you got two Alan Jacksons, so that should make you smile.
Oh, did I miss one song?
Yeah, I played two of them for you. I played the Talking song. That was a lot of fun, actually. And then I played this one. Yes, two of them in a row.
I heard this one. I missed the other one. Yeah. I had to take a call.
Oh, no, the Talking Song Repair Blues.
Oh.
That's all right. Well, so, tell me, what's happening?
It just wasn't a good day with the girls. Because what I'm very, very upset about is I know I'm 69.
Yeah.
But I don't feel 69,
okay.
And I dress nice.
Uh-huh.
And when I hear your songs, I could still move a groove.
Sure.
And they treat me like I don't know what I'm doing, like I'm totally an invalid, like I can't. And I just, it just, there was a big to do with, I don't even want to talk about it. I was so upset. I really thought I was going to get really, really sick. And it's not right because it doesn't matter how old you are.
Well,
I mean, you know,
right,
you
right.
got a lot of hurts on the inside, but don't treat a person like because they're older that they don't know how to do anything or manage their medicine or. Well, you know what I mean.
No, I do know what you mean. But here's the deal on this as you go along. And you know, we've talked about this. You had a year to really, really concentrate on grieving. And now it's about getting your life back together and moving forward. But, you know, you yourself will mention that you do need help on some things and a lot of help on some things. And so you wind up not being able to have both. You wind up up in that situation where, yeah, people who are your caregivers are going to look at you like you need the care. And so that's sort of what you're straddling now. And as you become more independent, you'll need less help. But that's the reason why you want to become independent, so you don't have to rely on anybody. So, you know, take it as just motivation to become more independent by the day.
Or get some new angels in
no,
my life.
No, no. See, that's what I'm telling you. No, you need. It's not going to work. No matter who you get in your life, you can't have it both ways. And so, you know, people can help to the degree that they can, but like we've also talked about, as time goes on, people can't do this indefinitely, and they won't. You'll find out that people will be calling you less, they'll be visiting less, because they'll be burning out on it. You know, a little help is fine, but a lot of help is just not going to work out long term. So, you know, we've talked before also, you might consider assisted living, because you said you might look into that. But
I did. I'm writing down a lot of places, okay. And I'm going to make a lot of phone calls.
And go, you know, absolutely go. And by the way, if there are places that are meals inclusive, make sure you eat a few meals.
Oh, right. Yeah. I've been trying to, you know, watch everything and...
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you want to know how good the food really is before, you know, I mean,
right.
Go and eat some of their meals and experience some of what they have to offer and see about that. But other than a setting where there are people who are, you know, basically, you know, part of the scheme, like they are in assisted living, you can't depend long-term on people. It's not healthy for you or for them, and that's the unfortunate reality of that. So it's your time to get stronger and be self-sufficient.
I know, and I got on my last nerve with things.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Absolutely. And but I can say it's between that rock and a hard place thing, because when you're coming at it from a position, I need help, and they're coming at it from a position, well, I'll help you. And next thing you know, they're looking at it like you're helpless, and you're saying, wait, I'm not helpless. But, you know, the paradigm is set already. So, you know, that's so rather than dwell on that or be upset about that, it's not a case of replacing them with somebody else, because you'll just be doing the same thing over and over and over again as time goes on. No one long term is going to be able to be there that way. Just isn't life.
Right. No. Oh, I wanted to tell Leah, she's not alone. I'm a night bird too. I have trouble sleeping too.
Oh, well, I was really worried when you said that. I said, don't tell me you've taken a Dremel drill to your teeth.
No.
But.
But, you know, when you were talking about that submarine.
Yes.
You know, that reminds me a lot of the James Bond movies.
Yeah.
Where the criminals, you know, they, oh, how can I put it? It's like the Bermuda Triangle.
Sure.
They hid it in such a way that it can't be found.
Right.
But then, you know, when James Bond comes with his other cohort, they find it.
Right, of course.
Because, you know, they're James Bond.
Well, no, you see, that's exactly, I'm sure that's the romantic lure of wanting to take these trips. You know, I get that. I don't share it, but I understand it. It's absolutely like that. People see this as exotic and all these other wonderful things. Well, you know, their thoughts may change a little depending on the fate of these five.
Exactly.
Well, like I say,
well,
Art Bell, where are you?
Everybody, yeah. And I hope the war ends. I hope they find everybody, and I hope, and I give Stacy's blessings to everybody. I want everybody to live and be well and stop these crazy wars.
There you are. All right, Stacy, take care of yourself.
Thank you,
okay,
Holly.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Okay, bye. All right, so that pretty much is a wrap. Yeah, we've pretty much done it. So we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. So therefore, here I am on bended knee begging again, because 21 hours from now, we'll do it all over again. And I would appreciate your participation. So until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.